Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
And welcome to this episode of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're coming to you live from our radio and television studios here located in northwest Pennsylvania. Live every weeknight, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Global Star Radio Network. And of course, BTR and YouTube Live. I want to thank everyone for joining us. Two websites, HagmanReport.com, HagmanandHagman.com. The latter, of course, is for the show. Watch it right on the website. Also, HagmanReport.com. That's where you get the news, information, analysis, important stuff, show prep. You know, it's rare. It's rare that we have a person, a guest, two nights in a row. I don't think, in fact, I would dare say this is the first time in the 1500 episodes we've done where this has taken place. But I'm angry. I am absolutely angry. I'm outraged. And let me tell you something. After in 30 minutes from now, if you're not outraged, then to me there's something wrong with you. You're not listening. You're not paying attention. And if you are a conservative, and you are a Christian, and you are a Christian conservative, and you're not outraged at the end of this 30 minutes, then you know what? I question whether you're either one of those. And if you're the type of person that wants to take pot shots. You call yourself a Christian, and instead of investigating the real issues, you take pot shots at others. You're contemptible, in my view. I'm angry. I'm extremely angry. Because, you see, yesterday, we had Angela on this program, and she was talking about Pedogate. And she was known as Not Manipulated 7 on Twitter. Subsequent to her appearance, she was suspended from Twitter. All within the last 24 hours, our program director, John Robertson, his Twitter account was gone, back, gone, back, gone, back. I'm not sure what state of flux it's in, but we know one thing. Angela, who appeared on the SGT report, and really named names, and appeared on her show last night, her Twitter account has been suspended. Why? Well, why do you think? Angela, I'm sorry, I sound a little bit mean-spirited right now, but...
No, it's good. I'm glad that you, I'm glad you care. I'm glad you care about children and free speech.
Well, I care about both, and I think this is despicable. I think the people behind this are despicable. And you know, I don't want to hear enough from you. I'm not saying this about you. But, you know, the people who say, well, Twitter, you know, it's their real estate. Okay. Well, so I guess that argument can be made with all the major networks. And
I think about this. The counter-argument to that is the bake shops that refused to make cakes for homosexual weddings that
right.
went through a big dust-up a year or two ago. They're their own businesses.
Yeah.
But they don't have the right to discriminate.
No, no. Well, Angela, rather than us wax angrily here, why don't you... thanks for joining us, coming back on short notice.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Look, lay this all out. I mean, I'm just, again, I'm angry, and I'm going to carry your torch, and I don't know, was it because of us, or was it in spite of us? I mean, what happened?
I think you guys were definitely, I believe it was definitely a part of it. Just last night, the Hagman Report interview from last night got on our, was posted on our page, and then also... Sean from SGT Report also posted an interview that I had done with him as well. And
right.
by the daytime, gosh, I want to say this might have been around like 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Here's what happened. They suspend me, But at the very same time, like minutes before I noticed that I was suspended, my dad had just asked me, you know, how can I post that Hagman interview? I said, oh, just go to the top of my profile and retweet it from there, because he just made one. And in fact, I made it for him on my phone because neither of us are very tech savvy, and that was the only way I knew how to do it. Now, I made his with his own email address, but I just did it on my phone so I could set it up that way. And so he was on his Twitter when he was asking me that. So, and I had just gotten off of mine, and I get back on there to I can't remember what I was going to do. And it told me I was suspended. And within seconds, my dad sends me a text, says that his got suspended. So he only had like 30 followers, and he really didn't use it that much. And he used his own email address, but they suspended us at the exact same time because they were both from my phone. Like, if that's not a red flag, I don't know what is. I mean, like, that's completely silly. They just said they didn't want me to be able to access Twitter at all.
Have you tried to, I know, Angela, we talked earlier. Have you tried to hit your dad's Twitter account on another IP or a different device than your phone? Have you been able to do that?
I haven't. I've kind of had my hands tied most of the day. I can check for him. But he was on his own. It was probably his phone where he was checking it from, and that's where he found out he was suspended.
So the connection to that, though, is your phone.
I actually copied some of your information off your Twitter page.
Good.
Yeah. And of course, I would urge everyone we took Angela's show from last night, folks, and it's isolated. It's on our video page. But in the program description also is the SGT interview, a link to that. But we can try with what Joe just mentioned there. We can try from here. But the bottom line here is, and of course our program director, John Robertson, his Twitter account was inaccessible for some time, and it was back on and off. I'm not sure where that stands right now, except to say that it's teetering, I suppose, on the edge of suspension. But yours comes right up, the account suspended.
And Angela, this is your only social media outlet that you use, correct?
Yes, I'm anti-social media. I'm a very private person. Like I said last night, had I not gotten tired of being called a Russian troll, I would never have added a picture. You know, and I made it a point to add one that was just a few years old, you know, so that, I don't know, I just thought, well, it's better than putting one of me from yesterday. But, I mean, it wasn't that old, but still, I only added it just because of that, because I'm very private. And I don't, like, the only reason, there's just a bigger purpose for it right now. That's the only reason. Right. And I might have, when I said last night that I did it in my free time, I probably should have clarified that what I'm doing is I was giving up a lot of my actual, I shouldn't say free time, because to be honest, my house, ever since Pizzagate broke, and it has just bothered me, everything seems so petty. Like, I spend so much less time cleaning the house. My poor husband, you know, I have got a stack of laundry. I've never let laundry go as bad as I have in the last couple months. But to me, it's like, gosh, I could spread awareness right now, or I could worry about some laundry. And it's just hard, because I get it done, but I'm also obsessed with getting the word out. Because if I don't, who else? I mean, and I know other people are doing it too, but this is the way I thought. I could maybe reach one more person.
Sure.
And, I definitely think that the two, especially the two, and I know that they do not like you guys, but I definitely think that for sure the interview last night, and probably also Sean's from SGT, his interview, I believe those both were, they dropped a few names.
Well, you really were taking some people to the woodshed on SGT report. I mean, wow, all of you were there. And again, I would urge people to really listen to that. Okay, but Angela, what are we going to do now? I guess, what are you planning on doing? You've got a lot of time, blood, equity invested in this, sweat equity, that is, invested in this, a lot of research time. What are your plans right now? Because we need to stick together and support you. We really do.
Yes. Well, I'll attempt to make another one, but by the way that they actually went on my phone and deleted my dad's for no reason, because, like I said, it was so small and insignificant. The way they did that, I have a feeling that I won't last long at Twitter. And that's okay, because you know what? Jack Dorsey is on the record for saying that he's making the good pasta and reading the satanic verses, and that he's also on record, and these are tweets from like 09 that got, you know, people found them. He's also on the record for saying he's rearranging his office for a pizza. And none of that really makes that much sense. But that's okay. Right. So I know that that's why I'm not very welcome on this platform. It's obviously, I'm going to assume it's like a CIA-ran platform. And it's funny because Twitter is, they're funny. People don't get it. They think this all boils down to some silly old false flag, fake shooting at a pizza shop, and it doesn't at this point. Twitter was, it was exposed not long ago that like 20 to 25,000 accounts had child porn. And for those that aren't aware, child porn, it's really a disgrace to call it that, because it's a child being physically, painfully raped on camera and then exploited. And I don't like the name child porn because if I was raped and they just called it porn, it would upset me. And so anyway, they had uncovered like all these accounts. And rather than suspend, some of these accounts had like 25,000 followers. Rather than suspend those accounts, they suspended the account that exposed it. So, like I said, you know, you've got an account that had 30 followers that was just simply linked to my phone that got it suspended. But, you know, people with 25,000 followers showing evil crimes of raping children on camera aren't getting suspended. So there's a problem. Well, I guess.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
No. And you make a good point. It's amazing that the rape, the moral depravity, the people who are behind this moral depravity can exist unmolested on social networking, but the moment that you or others like you expose this depravity, you're the one who's intolerant. You're the one who is spreading fake news. I'm angry. And you know, I'm not going to go there, but, I'm tongue-tied because this really affected me today because the last thing I wanted to do, use our platform is to cause you grief. I mean, that from the heart, but I feel that we added.
Oh, you guys have been nothing but supportive. I mean, it's not your fault. It was bound to happen soon. I mean, we talked about their funny little way of censoring me the other day, like a little fancy way of censoring me. And like I told people, I said, you know, it's like they tailored that time out for me, you know, just so then it wasn't that shocking that they suspended me and made sure that the other account that was linked on my phone was suspended as well, because, you know.
Angela, aside from doing the laundry, I mean, not that we don't want you to do laundry, although your husband might call me up tomorrow and say, you know, you shouldn't have said that, but you don't have to do that. We can have somebody do that for you because your talents obviously are uncovering this stuff with pedogate and such. But what are your plans? I've got a great website hosting company that would host your website in a second for you. But are you planning on continuing your research? I guess is my question.
For sure. Yes. Okay. These pedophiles are going down. I mean, that's just plain and simple. If you rape kids, you're going down. That was at the top of my profile. I said 2007. I said love God, hate lies. And I said 2017 is the year of, I don't remember, pedophiles going down or something like that. And I meant that. I'll probably get my Gab account up and running a little bit more. And yes, I will probably start maybe doing more writing because there's a lot of stuff that's been uncovered and maybe I can connect the dots a little better in some pieces for people. Because, you know, almost in a sense, 140 characters didn't do it much justice. You had to kind of be creative with that. But,
and I was talking with John about that today too, our producer. The information needs to be really laid out, and you have such a great, just following your feed. I was able to put more together from your feed than many of the other YouTube's videos I've watched, as well as some of the written words. So if you would turn to write, I guarantee you, you would change a lot of minds. If I can ask, Angela, John Podesta, okay, now, what? Folks, let me preface this by saying no one, you know, we're not, there's no accusations being made here, but on the SGT report, he played the, that horrific sound of torture, allegedly, apparently from, was it, I'm not sure where that was recorded, and it sounded like John Podesta, and there were some comparisons made. What are your thoughts on that? I kind of wanted to ask that before we went too far down the road.
You know, I was skeptic about it, because I was like, well, you know, where'd it come from? It came from some weird website. But now, keep in mind, they've been kind of, just, you know, to keep this in mind, the intelligence community that is actually fighting against this evil, you know, they've been purposely leaking things out bits by bits, and they are hoping that the citizens, because that's what they need the numbers on their side, since they have most of deep state working against them, and of course all of the elite. So at first I was skeptic, but then what happened was there was just like this instant pushback on that video. The account that first was tagging it and saying, hey, I've heard this might be John Podesta, it was like their account got suspended instantly. And so that actually was the first thing that caught my attention, like, that's weird. And then my friend Susie, who ended up downloading it to her Twitter page, and she made it where you could watch it much easier. She was actually in a private message telling us how she was going to get like a voice analysis of it. And before she could ever get it back, the very account that she told us was doing it was also suspended. And she never announced that, but in private messages. And that was just two things that happened in the same day. So that actually got our attention. And the more people listen to it, now, it's hard to hear, like I said, because the child in it is being tortured. I mean, they're being tortured. It's very, very, very upsetting. There's a lot of people that were, like, sick from it. Grown men were crying just from listening to it. And but people could hear the child saying things like John and Skippy, like when he was asking his name. And then immediately after that, it was discovered that, like, WikiLeaks had, like, a crazy amount of references to John's evil twin, which is his, like, alter ego, being Skippy. Right. Washington Post had even written a write-up about it, like, a few years ago. Like, kind of thinking that's funny. What really got it for me was there was this very unique lighting, and it was, like, blue, purple, with little hints of green. And yes. Someone exposed that Comet Ping Pong's lighting that they have during their shows was identical. It was identical. And we know that Podesta and that Comet Ping Pong are directly related. And so that was like, whoa, okay, now that's weird. That might explain why there was such instant pushback. And then the last thing was, there's another video right after it, and it's at the same place, it's the same child, and he's being made to participate in what sounds like a seance. And he actually says, I'm John and he says the first syllable of Podesta. And I was just like, okay, that can't be a coincidence. You know, like, that's just weird. So it got blasted. I'm sure it's been seen probably 200,000 times minimum on Twitter. And it's like she said, she never got, like, one, you know, email from an attorney saying, you know, I'm going to sue you. I just think that's strange. I don't know.
Yeah, and exactly. I would think that the legal letters would be flying if one is innocent, but I could be wrong, but I heard the same thing you heard, and it's a hideous audio videotape. The audio is hideous, and I heard the same thing you heard, and hey, I don't know, but it when played back to back with John Podesta telling someone to get away or leave him alone in a very crass terms, wow, it hits some of the same modulation. I don't know, what do you call it? Some of the same peaks on the.
And I haven't seen the voice analysis, but it does sound eerily similar. And it is cause for concern, especially with all the other evidence and and things we saw coming out of those emails and the connections to Podesta with the number of convicted child rapists and pedophiles. It's disturbing.
Can we, Angela, what do you recommend our listeners do? I mean, we're looking a little bit. The reason I asked John to have you back on, one of the reasons, and Joe and I spoke about this earlier, is to get your feeling as to what you're going to be doing, because I think what we really need to do is we need to band together, all of us in this research community, no matter how big and how small. You know?
That's right. Well, for sure. Well, I think that the good news, and I should say this because the topic has not died. The reason it's not died, and I know this, is because I'm a nobody. I don't have a radio show. I don't have, you know, even a publication of any sort. And I just started my Twitter, like what we talked about yesterday. It was like 4 months ago, and I only had a picture up there for like three. And in the last few weeks, I've been getting anywhere between 300 to 700 new followers a day. And that might sound like chump change if I had like a 500,000 follower account, but I'm not any of these people. I don't have my own show or anything. And so when people are doing that, that tells me, that's my indicator, since Twitter won't let it trend, that the topic is just getting hotter. And hotter, and I don't mean to sound like, it sounds insensitive, but it's not that. It just means that people are waking up more and more and becoming more concerned with this topic than what they're being allowed to know, because I wouldn't be getting 500 new followers a day as a nobody if people didn't care about this abuse against these tiny little children. And a point I do want to make about John Podesta is, you know, we do know by the WikiLeaks and the leaked code through the FBI Anon that he talked about playing dominoes on pasta or on cheese, which is a little girl or a little boy. And it was also leaked that dominoes and another thing meant dominatrix. But if you look at the artwork that his brother was on record for saying he enjoyed, his brother, you'll see really wicked scenes of torturing young children. You'll see ones, the details are so specific that it's almost in my mind, I can't help but think that it's almost documented, legal documented abuse. But I can't say that for sure. But they have like an emaciated little boy in nothing but underwear with like bones you could see hanging, being suspended from the ceiling, which is something they do for some reason. They love to take their victims and suspend them from the ceiling. And this is something that a sadist would enjoy. They get sexual pleasure from torturing someone like that. Then there's ones of little girls lined up against the wall, the same tile background that you find where they do these things in like basements that are made with drains and things like that. And you can see suspension cables, you can see drains, and these little girls are all lined up against the wall in their underwear. Somebody has meticulously painted their bottoms to look like they've been spanked, like red, and their feet are stained with like a reddish, like a blood color. And what I'm saying is, this is the artwork that we know that the Podestas like. Those are the emails that we know. And
it's
like you said, they have inner circle with pedophile after pedophile after pedophile. The man oozes perversion. When I see him in my own opinion, he oozes perversion when he's like being interviewed. So I don't know. I have a problem with that.
Well,
you know, what about the fact that Podesta never denies it?
Well, he did.
I have
it.
Okay, maybe he has, but in interviews I've seen recently, when it is brought up, when he's on
he blows it off.
Right. Well, that was debunked. He'll respond.
Exactly.
Or he'll never say, absolutely not. I've never done. I mean, wouldn't that just, to me, the logical thing to say?
I would be in. I mean,
yeah,
look,
I'd be so
legal
angry.
Papers would be flying everywhere. Trust me when I tell you.
Yeah, his reactions definitely don't match.
No, they don't. And like Sean brought up, he said, you know, if that was me, he said, and I was innocent, like I think anyone would think about this, and these were the accusations being spread upon millions of people, okay? The first thing you would say is, I would absolutely never hurt a kid. Here, this is what that code stood for. And, you know, I'm innocent. Here, you're just misunderstanding me. And I would actually bring up the accusations and face them, you know, head on. But instead, like you said, he literally avoids even saying what any of it's about. That's so guilty. It seems guilty. And he's just like, oh, it's all been debunked in his silly little voice. It's all been debunked.
Right.
And, yeah, so, Skippy. I don't know. Little Skippy gets under my skin.
Yeah, Skippy indeed. Angela, you know, I just want to say thank you so much for being the intrepid researcher and investigator that you are. And I just want to encourage you and have our listeners encourage you as well. Is there a way, are you publishing an email address or anything? Or?
Follow me at Pizzagate Angela. That's an account I set up at Gab, and I'm going to figure it out, especially now that I'm kind of being forced to. And then I am probably going to do some writing, only because that was something I told my mother like months ago that I felt like God was leading me to. And then even just here in the last few days, I've had people kind of confirming it by telling me, and I think that was God saying, okay, now's the time. You know.
Yeah, you don't have to be held hostage to 140 characters. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, yes. And can I say something else that was suspicious all along when I was on my account? I mean, do I have like 2 minutes to just kind of call out?
You got about a minute.
We're gonna make it. We're gonna make it 2 minutes. We're gonna blow right through if we have to blow right through the bomb. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, then I'll leave out all the other ones. I just want to point out a suspicious block I had. I've never, ever, ever talked about Linda Rothschild. Okay, never. And when I had about 7,000 followers, and I don't know how this happened, but like somehow someone tagged me in something, and I looked, and she had blocked me. So then here recent, so why is this woman that's from a family that literally runs the world, why is she blocking someone named Pizzagate Angela when I've never, ever talked about her once? Pizzagate Angela, remember, that's about child abuse. And then I'm finding out, like, recently that she's, like, a board member of some sort, of the McCain Institute, which is like the Saudi funded, you know, which is red flag, red flag, red flag, the one that Thorne is connected to with Ashton Kutcher. So I'm just like, why would and they have a human trafficking division. So this lady's on this thing that's apparently cares about supposed human trafficking. Why is she blocking an account that is all about fighting it? And especially, who am I? I'm like, seriously, a mom. Why are you blocking me, Linda Rothschild? And then Kevin Spacey, the verified account, did this to me about last week. The same thing, except for with him, I had made a post, but I didn't tag him or anything. Why was I on his radar? He had me blocked within like an hour. So it's like so strange because like both of those people, one of them I had never talked about. The other one I had just made my first post ever about, and I hadn't tagged him or anything. So I just think that when Kevin Spacey and Linda Rothschild are blocking accounts like Pizzagate, Angela, I just think that's strange.
I'm right there with you. Angela, we are going to be, look, please keep in touch with us. We're going to be following you, supporting you as we can, as you need. You have our number, 24/7, whatever you need.
Thank you.
We're here for you.
Thank you.
All right. God bless
awesome.
You so much.
I appreciate
it. All right.
God
Thank
bless you.
You
guys. I really do appreciate the support.
Yeah. You're well deserving of it.
We'll stay in touch, Angela. You have a good night.
Thank you. You too.
I'll be right back, folks. Hang right where you're at.
Book 2, Pentecost, and Book 3, Penance.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report. Folks, I'm going to tell you something right here. This is the last day of February, all right? Now, I may not finish out the night. The reason I'm saying that is because I'm going to attempt to do some things to gather some forces, and I'm not going to get into it. It's going to take me a little bit of time. I'm dealing with a number of time zones. We're going to gather some forces. We're going to be fighting, exposing this pedogate. All right. And I want to thank, because we're running over time, I want to thank Todd from Global Star Radio Network. Thank you so much for your understanding. I want to thank our listeners. I want to thank our sponsors for being understanding with late reads. TexasReady.net. Okay, TexasReady.net. Folks, they are the ultimate seed company. I just want to say thank you for all of everything that you do, Texas Ready. And you know, our sponsors are great. All right. We rely on the support of our listeners. But we also rely on the support of our sponsors. This has grown. Our enterprise has grown into this huge operation. We have investigative assets across the country. Not many, but very effective. We've got people on staff here. Not many, but very effective. Working 24/7. So this is a joint effort. And I'm coming to you. We're coming to you with an open heart, letting you know, look, we're doing our best. Okay. When I heard about Angela, Pizzagate Angela being banned on Twitter. Look, you know it's coming, okay? I understand that we shouldn't be surprised, but I will tell you this. The information that she has spread to others has been so important, and so she's woken up a lot of people. And see, that's what these demonic forces are afraid of, this awakening. And friends and family members, I'm going to tell you right now, we are headed for a calamity. We are headed for a calamity. Now, my good friend Paul Williams, he's an author of The Day of Islam, and in fact, a chapter of The Day of Islam. Dr. Paul Williams was devoted to my investigation of Islamberg. And he's scheduled to come on right now. We're having a little bit of a situation getting him on. We got him? Okay. Yeah. I had first met him back in, I think it was 2005, Dr. Paul Williams, Jeannie McLeod, up in Toronto. We met up there in Toronto. And I've got to tell you, this guy is one smart cookie. Not only smart, he's a prolific author. He's a great author. His book, The Day of Islam, The Annihilation of America and the Western World, has never been more relevant than it is today. It's available on Amazon. I know that it's in my office. I didn't, before I ran into the studio, I didn't grab it. He's got a book about he's got a book titled Operation Gladio, and so on. If you just search, and it's already in the program description, Paul L. Williams. But definitely, his books. You grab a hold of his books. Operation Gladio is amazing, but The Day of Islam is absolutely amazing. Of course, you know, why wouldn't it be? I'm in there, right? Crescent Moon Rising, another right on the money book. But Amazon.com for Dr. Paul Williams. Dr. Paul Williams, are you with me? With us.
I'm with you. I can't believe, Doug, I am talking to you after all these years.
I know. Isn't it something, brother? I'll tell you.
I don't know if everyone should be, I don't know if they're really aware. You are the best investigator I have ever met in my life. And I've met a lot of them. Because of you, and I mean, there are a lot of people who would like to say, like, even on Fox News or several of these other Christian groups, Christian Action Network, that they discover these Islamic compounds. The only one who discovered those compounds, the only one, was you. And the only one who really had their was aware of what was taking place at that. Do you remember that mosque up in Buffalo and these other places? Was Doug Hagman.
Yeah, I'm still not allowed.
It's an honor to talk to you. I mean, you are without equal.
And, well, thank you. As are you. I've got to tell you, and folks, it's don't get the wrong idea, okay? I mean, this is not scripted. And you're right, I haven't spoken with you in a while. It's just our schedules have been so crazy and different. But you know, you really, when we met up in Toronto, your focus, your laser-like focus on the issue at hand, I was amazed at, how you got things done.
Do you know what happened up there, Doug? This is interesting when I was up there. You remember we were looking for Adnan al-Shukr Juma, and yeah. I ended up at McMaster University after I left you. And I discovered a hive of jihadis up there. And I reported it. And I got sued by McMaster University, I think, for $4 or $5 million. And that suit went on and on. And I finally prevailed. I mean, I just want to say that on your show. I prevailed. I won. But everybody with me that should have been right behind me caved in. My publisher caved in. Joseph Farah caved in. All these people just caved in, and they said, oh, yeah, we're sorry. And I just want your listeners, because we have the same audience, to know that I never caved in. And I stood up to them. It cost me a fortune, but I prevailed in the end. What I discovered at that trip when I met you was right on the money.
I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead and restate that, because I think that's so important, which you were about to say that I interrupted. Go ahead and finish.
Yeah, well, we were up there, if you recall, because you were part of this original investigation looking into Adnan al-Shukr Juma. And, you were up there, I think, really, at that time, at my behest, because I reached out to you because you were the number one I knew that you had your finger on radical Islam, what was taking place throughout the United States and throughout Canada. And I think it was because of me you went up there. I might be wrong, but I...
No, and, it was at your behest. Yep.
Yeah, and anyhow, as a result of that meeting, I did find that nest. But at the end of the day, I really got... I mean, I was dealing with... Oh, this suit, Doug, was... the cost of the lawyers... My Canadian lawyers would call me up and they would say, how are you doing today, Paul? We hope everything's okay. How are you doing with your wife? How are you doing with your writings? And then they would hang up after about 10 or 15 minutes. They would charge me for the phone. They would charge me for the preparation of an email, the transmission of an email. I mean, they were the biggest... my worst enemies were not the jihadis up there. They were my own lawyers. And it was just a one heck of an experience. But through it all, there is Doug Hagman, who has never wavered. And I can't say that about many others. I mean, I consider you one of my, you're one of the few people that I have associated with that I truly respect.
Well, that means a lot to me, because I do know that you went through hell with that legal suit. And folks, let me tell you something. You know, Dr. Williams, you won, you prevailed, but it cost you so much. And see, this is what people don't understand, because anybody can sue anybody for anything.
Anything.
And I'll tell you something. And there will be a point, ladies and gentlemen, when I will tell our listeners things that you don't know. Our listeners don't know, but there are some things going on. But see, I mean, tens of thousands of dollars you expended on that suit. $100,000.
Oh, Doug, yeah. And not only that, but it's like devastating for your family. And even if you're right, and I was totally right, I mean, the pressure on you to buckle under, and the pressure from your publisher, because I make money by writing. The pressure on my publisher, my literary agent deserted me, and It was really tough, but thankfully for people like you who have always reviewed my books and given me wonderful plugs, thanks to you, I have prevailed. I Operation Gladio was just sold to American Movie Classics.
You know, I heard that, and I wasn't sure if that was a real, because we haven't spoken. I wasn't sure if that was true or not. I thought, great for you, man. That's just well worth it.
Oh yeah, yeah, and you know, okay. And a couple of things I really would like to talk to you about, Doug, mainly about Islamberg and what I found out in the aftermath. If we could spend some time talking about that,
yes, because people don't, and this is where you're the expert in this. And folks, let me tell you something, okay? Paul Williams had the balls, and I'm saying that on a Christian radio here. To go into the very places that we ran covert surveillance, where we heard the sound of automatic weapons, we saw the bus full of bullet holes, we saw and let me tell you, none of these are nice people, but you had the guts to go in there. So you go ahead, sir. The floor is yours.
I went in there a couple times, Doug. But one thing about, you were in there first. But afterwards, you know, these compounds throughout the country were set up by Jelani, as you know, Sheikh Mubarak Jelani from Pakistan.
Right.
Well, I went to Brooklyn. He had the Yassin Mosque in Brooklyn. I learned from Northeast Intelligence how to do these things, to go right back to the source and the original. So I went there. I was in Brooklyn, several times, as a matter of fact. And I spoke to members of his mosque. I spoke to people, to the people right from the Muslims of the Americas in New York. They all believe, get this, Doug, that they're working for the CIA.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, they are.
They are. That's what I was figuring, that you know, the real people who are perpetuating the jihad is the deep state. We're doing it.
Yes.
It's unbelievable. Jelani, I was wondering, how could they be protected? How could a place like this prevail? How could the FBI go up there and have a picnic? I could never understand it. But I went there, and I spoke to several people that were affiliated with Jelani. I got some wonderful literature from them testifying that Jelani is a CIA operative, and he was brought here by the CIA, along with Blind Sheikh Rahman.
Yes.
They were both transported here by the CIA to recruit black Muslims for the jihad. And they're still funded by them.
They are. And they're working in tandem with domestically with many of the FBI, but the money is being funded through the deep state from the CIA. You're absolutely right, and I'll tell you this: two things. Number one, Sheikh Jelani still has that religious statement against me posted on his website. I don't know; it's like five pages where on Muslims of America's website. And I got a visit not too long after the report was published. Well, you know what, Paul? I published my report, gave it to the FBI, and the ink wasn't even dry on the report on the compound in Hancock, New York. And I got two FBI agents that came to my door who had the report. Jelani had the report himself, and the two FBI agents says, you know, if I were you, I'd really increase your security because you're poking at a bear, and have a nice night. And my wife
exactly.
was like, you know,
exactly. Well, I don't know if you know, Doug, one other thing I have to say to you, and this is because we've been involved in the same work for probably 15 years. Most people that I hear on programs like this who claim to be counter-terrorists or terrorism experts, and you know the list, and a lot of them have made a fortune on this, have never met a terrorist, but they're counter-terrorism experts. They're on the talk shows, they're on Fox News, they're all over the place.
Right.
Your listeners, and we should do something together, because you... And I mean, we've been there.
You've looked, and folks, this guy, Paul Williams, has looked terrorists square in the eye. He's found terrorists and turned over information where, you know, I look, Dr. Williams, I'm not even sure how.
My name is Paul to you, Doug. We're friends.
All right, Paul, but I'm going to tell you, the listeners need to know you're well credentialed. But I got to tell you, I just don't know how you have had a bullseye on your back by both sides, by the deep state and by the terrorists now for a number of years. And I'm going to make our listeners a promise. We are going to be releasing information and about all of this. But folks, Dr. Paul Williams' books, Amazon, worth every cent. Every cent plus, I mean, they're worth their weight in gold. You gotta really to understand really what's going on. But go ahead, Paul.
And then another thing. Well, one other thing I have to say. I've watched you on Alex Jones too, Doug. I'm really tickled that you're. I mean, you guys are right on the money. But in any case, there was something else if you were not out in Erie, if you were closer to Scranton, Pennsylvania, I would have taken you on my travels up to the Gulen complex, Fetullah Gulen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Now, this was very interesting. Doug, this place is in Sellersburg, Pennsylvania. It's up in the middle of the Poconos, deeply forested area, kind of reminiscent of that place in Deposit in Hancock, New York, like Islamburg. Kind of like that. It's it's all surrounded with a fence. It's all these people inside this compound, this settlement, are from Turkey, and they're all the followers of Fethullah Gulen. And it's the same thing that you found in New York State: gunfire, explosions, firing ranges, the whole nine yards, everything going on there. Gulen setting up schools throughout the country. Gulen at his hearing, I found out I got the court transcripts for when he applied for permanent residency. The FBI objected for some reason but the CIA spoke in favor of him. But in his bank account, this Gulen now he's a Muslim with a third grade education who owns the major newspapers, the major television outlets, the major corporations in Turkey. His assets, personal assets, are $50 billion. And he's right. He's been called the most dangerous Muslim in the world, and he's right here in Pennsylvania, protected by the CIA. The CIA, Graham Fuller and company, spoke about what a wonderful educator he is. Doug, this guy doesn't speak a word of English. He has a third grade education. But he has set up schools, all funded by U.S. taxpayers, charter schools throughout the country, and he has tried to overturn the Turkish government numerous times. His movement is throughout the world.
Was he responsible for that latest coup? Was he correct me if I'm wrong. When you talk about Gulen, you're talking about the CIA, right?
Yeah. Basically. Oh, yeah. You are.
Okay. Now, was he responsible, Paul, for the latest coup attempt, in quotation marks, in Turkey?
Well, you see, what you're dealing with there is you're dealing with such black forces. You're dealing with Erdogan, who is, of course, a shady character himself, and Gulen, who's sponsored by the CIA. And I think in between there, I think that right now the CIA is playing one against the other. But what Gulen did is throughout Central Asia, you know, all these state countries like Turkestan, Turkmenistan, Kazakhstan, they're all emerging as the richest countries in the world. They, especially the ones that are around the Caspian Sea, because of the vast oil and natural gas and uranium and gold deposits there. And what the CIA wants to do is gain control of these deposits. You know, Russia borders the Caspian Sea, too, and of course they want that. And what we're trying to do is unify all of Central Asia under Gulen, under radical Islam, with the belief that the CIA can control radical Islam for you know, for the international bankers and the big business people. But that's what's going on right there. And Gulen, of course, was instrumental because all of his schools were set up throughout, thousands of them, throughout Central Asia, all funded by, and every one of these schools was a CIA agent, all trying to bring about this new Islamic world order throughout Central Asia. And once again, all and look at some of the people involved there were right from Al Qaeda, including Zawahiri.
Right.
So
right.
You know, it's all created, it perpetuated by us. And I heard what we were saying right before, but you're right. We're just so fortunate that Hillary's not in office.
Well, we are. This runs so deep. The deep state, obviously, hence the name, I suppose.
Yeah. How are you going to root it out, Doug? How in the world are you going to root it out?
In a way, I think, Paul, it's going to be a numbers game. All of us, I mean, we need everyone in the game. We need people to show up and play their positions, whatever those might be. But,
Count me in. Anything you want me to do, count me in.
Well, and thank you for that. And I want to thank John Robertson for, having you come on today for just this one segment, but we're going to have you back. Here with about 6 minutes to go before the top of the hour, before we have to cut you loose, Paul. What are you focusing on? Number one, at this point, number two. If people could only buy one of your books right today, I'm going to toss this out to you.
Gladio. Okay. Because I think with Gladio, Doug, I think before then, I didn't know the deep state. I didn't know that it was all orchestrated.
Okay.
And what happened was, it's really due to you. If I hadn't been looking into Islamberg, if I didn't meet Doug Hagman, and if I wasn't looking into Jelani and the Muslims of the Americas, I wouldn't have seen it. I wouldn't have seen it.
Thank you.
No, it's the truth.
And you've taught me a lot, too.
When it happens to you, when I really was aware of, I mean, my faith was shattered. I went down to Tampa, Florida, and I mean, the guy that saved me was a preacher by the name of Rodney Howard Brown, because I was, like, lost. I was devastated.
Mm.
I mean, after all the wars, and then just finding out that the enemy is us, like Pogo said.
Yes.
You know, it's devastating.
Man, I have to say, Operation Gladio is a fine work from you. I would urge everyone to, that really will open a lot of people's eyes, especially if you're new, you've heard the term deep state, maybe you're not really 100% familiar with it, and how the CIA fits into this, as well as the Vatican.
Yeah. Absolutely. Vatican is, you know, the money that the CIA, going back to 1947, Doug, we'll have to talk some other time, we'll talk for hours, but 1947, when the CIA was formed, there was absolutely not one dime allocated for black ops. And that money, going way back then, came from the drug trade. The CIA was involved in the heroin trade going all the way back to 1947. And the way that the Vatican Bank was the laundry.
Isn't that something? And people will hear that, and this is not an indictment on Catholics. This is
Vatican Inc. This is not, you know, Roman Catholicism.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, Paul, I just want to say thank you so much you're one of these guys where you're consistent, you're always on the money, you're tenacious, you're persistent, consistent, and I really love you for it. I really do.
I love you too. And Doug, realize that I don't say these things. I've never said anything like I complimented anyone the way I've complimented you, but I'm not, and I haven't, let me close by saying this, I haven't complimented you enough.
Well, God bless you, my friend. Well, what a boost, what a shot in the arm that is, I'll tell you. Much needed. And yeah, we're going to have you back on, because I think what you went through in Canada with the lawsuit against you, that to me,
That is an ordeal in itself. Yeah.
And I got to tell you, that's the kind of stuff that could break lesser people. And you handle that terrifically. And, of course, exposing everything else. I'm going to be writing some articles here recently, some reports, and it's going to be about your efforts as well. Dr. Williams, I want to say thank you.
Hallelujah.
All right, brother.
You're my man.
We'll talk soon, man. We'll talk soon.
Okay. Take care, Doug. Good talking to you. Right, bye-bye.
God bless. Folks, Dr. Paul Williams is I'm going to tell you.
That's interesting.
You weren't with me.
Mm-mm.
Okay. It was in 2005. It was Judy McLeod from Canada Free Press, the founding editor of Canada Free Press, Dr. Paul Williams, another person from the Northeast Intelligence Network, myself, and we were all at this meeting. And I still have the notebook that contains the original notes from that meeting. And
he's not lying.
That's right. And I'll tell you something. Okay, what Dr. Williams did after that meeting, it resulted in the identification of a plot that involved nuclear material. That's all I'm going to say. Because I don't even know if that's unclassified, declassified. I don't know. Man. This has been a stressful day. I want to tell everyone, but it's pedal to the metal time. Ladies and gentlemen, everyone needs to be involved. If you're a conservative, we need to get involved. You're a Christian, conservative Christian. You need to be on the right side of history right now. We need to be fighting this fight, exposing these pedophile idiots, these perverse people, and exposing these Muslim infiltrators. Supporting people like Angela, supporting people like Dr. Paul Williams, sticking together and fighting together. They're not going to shut us down, and they're not going to shout us out. We're going to be right back. Stay right where you're at with Sean from SGT Report. Green Innovative. What Green Innovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the G-Mag Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right, you need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bang, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super G-Mag Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Go to greeninnovative.com. That's greeninnovative.com. Perhaps you're a business out there, a small business. Would you like to extend the reach of your business? I bet you would. Would you like to have the same opportunities as companies such as Omaha Steaks, Pro Flowers, and Casper Mattress, and some of the bigger companies out there? Would you like to have that same power? Advertise on our program. Go to HagmanandHagman.com or send an email to opportunities@HagmanandHagman.com. If you go to HagmanReport.com and HagmanandHagman.com, there's a link where you can. It's a big red box. You'll see it. Click on that link and go ahead and read the benefits we have created for you. I think it's a fabulous opportunity.
For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plan. plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com.